You're listening to The Ground Floor on Jefferson Public Radio, where we talk with regional entrepreneurs about their businesses and how they got started. I'm your host, Cynthia Scherer, and today I am speaking with Mike Sorensen, partner of Lime Rock LLC, which is the parent company for several other endeavors. And they serve a range of industries from the movies to the military, and in the field of motion control robotics, which I'm sure we'll get him to explain more later. Lime Rock's companies include Ravensclaw, Jetray, and Sorensen Design. So, Mike, welcome. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And it's just not every day that I get to talk to somebody who has two Academy Awards. So I understand that those awards trace all the way back to your work with the LDS Church. Do you want to give us a little background about how you got your start? What led to your products in the movie industry? And we'll work our way towards where Lime Rock is now.
Absolutely. Happy to. We did get an Academy nod back on a movie called Mighty Joe Young. And then that was for motion control, advancing the art of motion control. And then that product moved forward into what are referred to as remote camera heads. So we don't build the camera, but we build the support structure that holds the camera and steers the camera around. And then we got another Academy nod for that, and that was a product that the LDS Church took a liking to because we were able to perform tasks that they required better than most. And so once they saw our product, they kind of pushed us into business. It was a very good contract, and it got us kind of moving in that direction. And then we've blossomed into other motion control fields using the same technology, but then leveraging that into the military, doing a lot of satellite communications, remote dish control, and then also airframe inspection. So we use the same exact technologies, but packaged in a different way to do all those tasks.
Fascinating. So talk a little bit about what, you know, motion control design is. I watched one of the videos for Jetray, and mm-hmm. it was fascinating. It looked like, you know, you're building just towers to mm-hmm. the heavens, so they go over the jets. Mm-hmm. But tell us a little bit about that technology and how you got involved in that kind of technology. Is that something you studied, or?
Yeah, I actually had a technical trade school background, mm-hmm. and got sucked into Hollywood and really enjoyed it. What a great industry! It is a single man's business, though. It's very time consuming, and you're traveling all the time. But I spent about 20 years down in Los Angeles, and then I moved up here in 96 and brought the company up because I realized that the type of work we were doing, we didn't need to be in Los Angeles any longer. Uh-huh. So I was not going to, you know, nothing about L.A., you know, for raising kids. It's not the best place to raise children. So my wife and I had moved up here in 96 and brought up the whole company. And, you know, we started small. We had 4 employees, and we've expanded from there to about 30. And have just diversified our skill set so that we could work in these other industries. And that diversity has given us security because mm-hmm. the motion picture industry took a turn for the worse. And really that portion of our business suffered greatly. But fortunately for us, we had the satellite communications folks to work with. And
so can you talk about that as a pivot point? Because that's not mm-hmm. a natural to go, at least doesn't seem to me to be a natural to go from movies to satellite
right.
control. As an entrepreneur, how did you think about those pivots, or how did you find the next one, or did they find you?
Yeah, it's actually a lot of networking. So uh-huh. you get to know people, you go to the same trade shows, which is ironic. The skill set is almost identical. So if we're doing motion control for feature films or television and using the same robotic type control for satellite pointing reflectors or moving large robotic gantries around airframes. It's all the same technology, just a new package. So we just have to package the equipment to fit in that environment.
Uh-huh. So, and how much of the technology that you work with is hardware versus software, or
unfortunately, it's a mix of each.
Uh-huh.
You know, I say that as a mechanical guy.
Oh, right.
my partner Jeff Platt, who's a brilliant software writer, has made my job easy, because he can make our mechanics work. And he writes all the embedded processor code. And, you know, we've got a team now that we put together quite a bit of software for those very complicated projects. Some of the systems we use will have as many as 28 microprocessors in one robotic system. So it is robotics.
Mm-hmm.
The level of control that we provide is relatively simplistic. If you're thinking about, you know, a walking robot, the stuff we do is much simpler than that. We do a lot of pointing of devices or point-to-point control, robotic control. But, you know, I say that, I kind of laugh about the mechanical side of things because the lack of understanding I have for it, I really have to rely on those people, those experts within our own company. And it went from a company where I kind of knew a little bit about everything that was going on to now I have to rely on these people that are writing the code for the, you know, the little black boxes. And so I say that I make the shiny enclosures and they make the brain matter that goes inside of it. So
on the videos, it was really pretty fascinating to watch how...
Yeah, it's a very even balance between software and mechanics.
Yeah, very controlled.
Has to be, yeah, because we're working around aircraft that are worth literally billions of dollars.
Right.
And so we have to be very careful how we... very, very safe in operation. Also, we're working around people, so we have to be safe.
Right. Yeah. So this is The Ground Floor on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm your host, Cynthia Scher, and I'm speaking with Mike Sorensen, partner in LimeRock LLC. Tell me how you've used the technology that you've applied for both the movie industry and in inspecting airplanes. You mentioned when we talked earlier that you're now designing your own products.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a leap have you made into your own products, and what kind of market are you looking at there? Because, again, you've gone from this very specific niches to...
Right. Yeah, so what we do primarily is product development, okay, but very specific in the field of robotics. So people will come to us with their problem or their technology request, and we will take all the tools we have because within our four walls we can do the mechanical design, all the finite element analysis for structures. We can do carbon fiber. We can... manufacture pretty much all the components we need mechanically, machine shop, and then we can also create the electronics, the controllers, the embedded processor boards, and the software. So we can do all that with under one roof. Now, our clients very rarely will have that level of expertise, all those fields of discipline. They'll come to us with their one request, and a lot of times they're just integrators. So I don't mean to say just integrators because they're pretty much the client. You know, they bring the work, they bring the dollars.
Mm-hmm.
When we are instructed to solve their problems, we will obviously quote the job, do our best to give them a fair price. But the problem is our success is tied to their success. So no different than a barber or a lawn care professional. If I don't go to work, I don't get paid. So we don't have our own stable of products. So we've focused over the last 2 years on our own stable of products, and which will give us the ability to actually produce instead of going from one non-recurring engineering job to another. Now we can start to actually build up momentum and have our own product line.
Got it. So that's you can move towards scale that way instead of one-off.
Absolutely.
At a time.
Yeah.
Great.
Exactly.
So you said you left the LA area for Southern Oregon when you had a family. I hear that from a lot of entrepreneurs. How's it been for you running a business in Southern Oregon?
Painless. The transition was painless. Yeah. Okay. I can give a little more detail on that. It nearly killed me. But it
Uh-oh.
Was painless. Now, moving a business, moving a home,
right.
A new baby, a new house, the whole thing. You know, it's a struggle to do that on your own. We're a very small crew at that point.
Right.
And so it was a lot of sleepless nights getting things back up and running. But to actually do our job here, it's been fantastic. The employees that I can pull from here in the Valley have been fantastic. We have got a fantastic crew. A lot of guys from SOU or OSU, I'm sorry, and over in Klamath for engineering. And it has been a really easy job to find good people. You know, I think we bring a unique challenge to the guys that are out in this area. So we've attracted some really nice, talented people.
Mm-hmm.
And we grow. We've grown every year. And, there's been some tight, budget issues with just the way the economy is and all that. But mm-hmm. other than that, the diversity of our business has really been the thing that saved us, mm-hmm. Going from industry to industry.
So you said it was exhausting moving a business here, but, You know, sometimes businesses themselves have near-death experiences. Have you survived a near-death experience in business?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, more than one.
More than one?
More than one, yeah. And that's why I was saying about the diversity is that's really what saved us is I can't look at this business and say that we do one thing, you know, and all I have is a stable of tools. I have a toolbox with a lot of tools in it and some really good people to know how to use them. And so when a client comes to us with problems, 98% of the time we can address them. And sometimes, you know, we'll tell them if we're out of our skill set. Mm-hmm.
So. And what can people who are looking for your products that you could order rather than have to, provide
build,
specs for
build
design,
from build, scratch.
Build from scratch. Yeah. What are those?
Well, what we're doing is there's a lot of small antenna arrays out there for communication, for satellite communication. And it does fall into the same category that Starlink is using. You know, they do a flat panel array. Mm-hmm. Well, we can do that and package the positioner in a smaller package to carry a heavier array. So we'll run antenna that are 2.4, and now we're working on a antenna that's 4 meters in diameter, which is massive antenna to steer around. So we're taking the same technology there and scaling it down so we can have a smaller off-the-shelf package. We're also doing some simple stuff that is much more, you know, bread and butter work. Because we have composites, the capability of doing composites within our shop, we make some carbon fiber aftermarket components for older trucks because these guys that I all work with drive older trucks. And it's like, well, why can't we make something, you know, that's really nice? So we do an interior component, a console. That has all the bells and whistles and features and, you know, all the electronics and software that you can stuff into it. And so that is a stable product for us.
So it always helps to be your own customer.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, great. So who have been some of your primary mentors or sources of inspiration along the way?
Well, I started out in the aircraft industry.
Oh,
so I was always a big fan of the big names, you know, Jack Northrop and, you know, Ben Rich and Kelly Johnson and, you know, but those were just at a distance, you know, reading about them historically. But I got really fortunate. I met a gentleman named Doug Trumbull back in Connecticut where I grew up. And Doug was a special effects director. He did a bunch of movies you've heard of, 2001. He's done Brainstorm. And fortunately for us, well, the aircraft factory I was working for, he bought a plane from us. And so I got to meet him. He gave me a job.
Wow.
So I came out to California, moved out to California my 19th birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been a really exciting birthday present.
That was.
I bet. So if somebody is listening out there and thinking about starting a business, you know, especially in the engineering space, what advice do you have for them?
Go work for someone else.
Go work for someone else. I mean, not you, or don't work for yourself.
Go work for someone else. Go learn as much as you can before you even attempt doing it. I mean, starting a business is a struggle because everything comes back on your shoulders, and it just feels like there's times where you just cannot get through the day, and you have to be ready for that. So the more you learn from others, and no matter where I have gone business-wise, if I was seeking advice from other professionals, they always help. You know, so it's been a really good experience for me. I don't have a quote unquote, you know, formal business background. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we've grown pretty much every year, and it's been a wonderful experience. And if there's any questions you have about the way to run business, there are experts out there. Yeah, well, you.
Well,
your husband have been really helpful, you know, experts in the fields, and they're out there. And every time I've asked questions, they've always been answered.
Yeah, people tend to be very generous with their time when you are genuinely looking to learn.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest on the ground floor today. I really appreciate it. And just we'll be on the lookout for a raise on the hills, maybe, when they come out.
Yeah.
Great. You've been listening to The Ground Floor, JPR's regional business podcast. I'm Cynthia Scher, and you can find this program and more on our website at jeffexchange.org or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.